Assalamu alaikum. Thank you all for joining. Today's program, Heroes from Islamic History with Brother Ahmed al-Mutawwa. We will be discussing Imam al-Shafi. Also tonight, we will be reciting Juz 7, Surah al-Ma'idah to Surah al-An'am. You can follow along on our screen through live YouTube or Facebook. And just a reminder, today we will be starting 8:45, the Quran recitation. So 8:45, usually we start 8:30, but tonight we will start 8:45. Azkar, again, as usual, is 7:15. And after the Quran recitation, we will have Tafsir Khatira at 9:45 by Dr. Siddiqui, inshallah. Come and explore some of the highlighted verses from the previous week's Quran recitations, its lessons, context, and how they pertain to our lives with Sheikh Shahr Ali every Wednesday, starting tomorrow, inshallah. And make sure to sign up for MYG's Quran reading program to win amazing prizes. You can either read the entire Quran or half of the Quran in English or Arabic. You can find the link on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Once again, for complete details or online programs, please visit ramadan.isocmasjid.org. Okay, Brother Ahmed, whenever you're ready, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, most graceful, most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the household of Muhammad, the companions of Muhammad, and the followers of Muhammad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ramadan Mubarak to everybody. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our fast. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our prayers. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our recitation of the Quran. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our charity. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all good deeds that we do. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people who are winners in Ramadan, who are forgiven after the month of Ramadan. Jazakumullah khair for joining today. We have a great hero with us today. And can you imagine, brothers and sisters, that we already 1/6 of Ramadan already passed. Today, we're fasting the fifth day of Ramadan. And soon, inshallah, within 1 hour, inshallah, we'll be breaking the fast of the fifth day of Ramadan. Ramadan is a train that's going so fast. And if you don't run to catch up, and if you don't buy your tickets to get into the train, to be forgiven by the end of the month by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you are a loser. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every single night of this month, will clear people, will move people, will actually forgive people to move them from hell to go to Jannah. And that's our opportunity for all of us. So what are we doing in the month of Ramadan? In last week, we talked about a story of repentance. And then we talked about a story of giving to be ready for this month of Ramadan. We're going to talk about a great hero. That's a hero that I cannot describe him, or I cannot just talk about him in this 20 minutes. Is somebody actually, many scholars nowadays, they actually wrote books about him. Somebody who dedicated his life for the knowledge, dedicated his life to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dedicated his life to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about the great scholar, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, he is a Muslim, somebody who was born in a very poor family in Gaza, Palestine now. And he was born in the year 150 of Hijrah. He is originally from Quraysh, from Mecca. Actually, two of his great-grandfathers are Sahaba. Himself, Sa'id and Shafi', that his last name taken after, are both Sahaba, who met Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'ib and his son Shafi'. And some of our historians tell us that his mom, Fatima bint Abdullah, she's from the descendant of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some historians, they said she's from the tribe of Ujd. Imam Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i, that we're going to call him Imam al-Shafi'i, he was born, as I said, in a poor family, that his father passed away when he was a baby. So his mother did not know what to do. So she wanted to take him to his family. And his mother had a goal in her mind, that he wanted to see her son a scholar. Some of the historians, they tell us that Imam Shafi'i's mother, Fatima, she had a dream that one day her son would become something. And when she went to ask, they said, your son is going to become a scholar of Islam. So Imam Shafi'i, at the age of 2, he was in Mecca. And then at the age of 4 or 5, he was admitted to a teacher to teach him Quran. Coming from a poor family, he wasn't given the attention, because teachers at that time will give attention to children of families who can pay. And Imam Shafi'i's family cannot pay. So he wasn't somebody who's given a lot of attention. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a special skills to Imam Shafi'i. He was somebody with a great memory. He can memorize so fast, Imam Shafi'i. Actually, his memory helped him to be the great scholar that he later on became. I'm going to tell you a story about him when he was a student. Once he was a student and his teacher didn't show up. So he took it upon himself to stand in the class to teach his classmates. And then when the teacher showed up and he told him, what are you doing? He's like, I'm teaching them. He's like, how do you know? He said, I memorized what you taught me. And that his teacher actually praised him, and he was so happy of what he did. So he allowed him later on to be his co-teacher, or to be his TA, to help him to teach other students in the class. And one day his teacher came to him and he said, you know what? I cannot accept payments from you anymore. Tell your mom not to pay me anymore. Imam Shafi'i asked him why. He said, because every time I try to teach you something, you memorize it from the first time. If I recite an ayah, you'll memorize it right away. If I recite a hadith, you'll memorize it right away from the first time. I don't get a chance to repeat it. I don't get a chance to explain it to you. So you'll memorize it right away. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put that on him. He had a great memory. He had so great of a memory that if he's reading in a book, he will actually sometimes do something like this. If he's reading in a book, he would cover one page while he's reading this page, because sometimes he will mix up and he'll memorize, whatever he's reading. SubhanAllah, that's something that we call right now photographic memory. That's whatever he sees, he'll memorize right away. And sometimes we don't see people like this nowadays. We see people promoting something called speed reading, that you read so fast to get the main idea. We're talking about photographic memory, that he will read and he'll understand exactly and he will know what he just read. That was Imam Shafi'i. So at the age of 7, he memorized the Quran. Not just that, when he was 10 years old, he memorized the book of Imam Malik. Imam Malik ibn Anas was the Imam of the Ummah at that time. And Imam Malik ibn Anas wrote a book called Al-Muwatta, a book of hadith. It's a collection of ahadith. Imam Shafi'i, at the age of 10, he memorized the whole book of hadith. Not just the Quran, but also a whole book of hadith. And subhanAllah, Imam Shafi'i, he grew to learn from the scholars of Mecca. And almost the historians, they tell us that he learned from every single scholar in Mecca at a young age. At the age of 17, Imam Shafi'i, he actually met all the scholars of Mecca. So Imam Shafi'i, at the age of 17, he went to the governor of Mecca and told him, can you please write me a letter of recommendation? I want to go learn with Imam Malik ibn Anas. And Imam Malik ibn Anas at that time was at his 60s. So Imam Shafi'i took the letter of recommendation from the governor of Mecca to the governor of Medina. And the letter says, when you get my letter, please make sure Muhammad ibn Idris learns with Imam Malik. So Imam Shafi'i took the letter to the governor of Medina and told him, I came to you from the governor of Mecca. Here is the letter. Please, call Imam Malik, because I want to, bring him here. I want to learn from him according to the recommendation I have. So the governor of Medina looked at Imam Shafi'i and said, do you think Imam Malik, if I call him, will come? At that time, the people of knowledge, the scholars, are way higher than governors, way higher than politicians, way higher than generals of armies. Those are the people who the Ummah look forward to meet and to learn from. So the governor of Medina took Imam Shafi'i with him to the house of Imam Malik, and they knocked the door. So a servant of Imam Malik came out and he asked, what do you guys want? They said, we want to meet Imam Malik. The servant went inside and told Imam Malik, there are two people who want to meet you. One of them is the governor of Medina. He said, Imam Malik, to the servant, tell them, if they're here to ask fatwa, let them write it down and give it to you. And if they're here for hadith, to learn hadith, they know my class of hadith is at this time every single day in the masjid. They can come there. So the servant went and told them. The governor of Medina told him, no, tell him I have a letter from the governor of Mecca to you. So Imam Malik came out, but his servant before that came with a chair and put it outside. So Imam Malik came and he sat outside. And who's standing? Imam Shafi'i, who's 17 years old at that time, and the governor of Medina. And the governor of Medina gave him the letter. He said, I have a letter from the governor of Mecca saying, please take Muhammad ibn Idris as your student. and make sure you know you treat him well and you teach him. Imam Malik looked at them and he said, no. I don't accept letter, you know, trying to force me, trying, you know, to use a connection. For the Arabs, we used to something called wasla, you know, trying to push your, you know, nephew, your cousin, your friend to do something they're not qualified to do it. He said, no, if he wants to be my student, he needs to come to me. And he threw the letter. Imam Shafi'i, he grabbed the letter and he went to Imam Malik. He said, yeah, Imam, I come to you and I've done this and I've done that. And I study with this scholar, I study with that scholar. Then Imam Malik looked at him and said, okay, tomorrow start learning my book, Al-Muwatta, and get somebody to read the book on you or read the book on someone, and then come to me. He said, yeah, Imam, I don't need to do that because I memorize your book. I memorize it. I read it all. Imam Malik, he was so excited to hear that, and he was so happy to hear that, so he took Imam al-Shafi'i as his student. So Imam al-Shafi'i became the student of the scholar of the Ummah at that time. Imagine, what a great status. Imam al-Shafi'i, at least he spent 9 years to be a student of Imam Malik at that time. And then, and he learned, not just learned the hadith, not just learned the knowledge, but learned the manners. Imam Malik has his own manners of learning, has his own way of learning. The scholars of Islam at that time, some of them, in order for them to narrate the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they want to make sure they dress in the best of clothes. They have to show they smell good. They take shower before that to make sure they're respecting the knowledge that they're gaining and respecting the knowledge that they're giving to their students. Imam al-Shafi'i, after that, after Imam Malik passed away, he moved to Medina. And actually, he became the governor of a city he moved to Yemen, and he became the governor of a city in Yemen called Najran. It's a north of Yemen, now in Saudi Arabia, called Najran. And he became the governor there. And then Imam Shafi'i, after that, he traveled. He traveled to Yemen to study. He traveled to Iraq to study. He traveled to Asham, and he traveled to Egypt at the end of his life, as we see. But I want to talk about an incident that happened to Imam Shafi'i with Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal. Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal technically was the student of Imam Shafi'i. Once Imam Shafi'i was visiting Iraq, was visiting Baghdad, and he stayed at the house of Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal. One of the daughters of Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal was so excited to meet Imam Shafi'i because his name was everywhere. Everybody talks about Imam Shafi'i. And Imam Shafi'i, he had a dinner with them, and he spent the night, and they prayed Fajr together in the morning. And then during the day, in the morning, the daughter of Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, she went to him and said, Dad, you told me you praised Imam Shafi'i so much, and you told me he worshiped Allah, and he does this, he does that, but I didn't see any of it. I saw actually three things of him last night. When you put the food in front of him, he ate a lot. And second of all, I saw him the entire night at his room, he did not even stand for prayer. He did not even make tahajjud. He didn't stand to do qiyam. And the third thing, when he prayed Fajr, he led us in Fajr, and he led it without wudu. I didn't see him make wudu. So Imam Ahmed, he went to Imam Shafi'i and said, "Ya Imam, my daughter is asking about these three things." And he told him something very interesting, Imam Shafi'i. He said, "I ate a lot from your food because I know your food is halal. And I don't know about other people where the food they get it from and how halal is their food and how halal is the money they make to buy their food from. So I was very comfortable to eat your food." That's number one. Second of all, he said, "I spent the entire night thinking about matters of fiqh, thinking about certain rulings of certain things. And when it was time for Fajr, I still had my wudu for Isha. So I did not need to waste water to make a wudu again. So I led you guys and I prayed with my wudu that I made for Isha." And subhanAllah, Imam Ahmed looked at his daughter and he told him, this is Imam Shafi'i. Even while he's laying down, even if he's not doing anything, he's thinking about the matters of fiqh. And who is Imam al-Shafi'i? Imam al-Shafi'i is one of the four scholars of the four school of thought in Islam. What are the school of thought of Islam? Islam was brought to us through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with two sources, the Quran and the Ahadith, the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Later on, scholars of Islam came to explain to us the Quran, came to explain to us the Ahadith, came to explain to us and to make us understand the rulings. For example, Salah. Salah, there is Salah that's fard and there is Salah that's Sunnah. It's scholars like Imam al-Shafi'i who put the rules down for understanding Islam, and that's what we call fiqh. Imam al-Shafi'i, he was the first scholar to put these rules, to write down these rules down of fiqh, to say this is considered to be halal, this is considered to be haram, this is considered to be liked, mustahab, or Sunnah. This is considered to be fard, obligation. This is who was the first one is Imam al-Shafi'i. And the scholars, they followed after him in writing books about fiqh. Because before that, it's either about the Quran or about the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then later on, scholars came to explain these matters to the people like us, to all the ummah like us, who don't understand the details of these things. Imam Shafi'i, later on in his life, he traveled to Egypt. And the people of Egypt loved him so much. Some of the people said that he did spend a lot of time in Egypt, but if you go to his grave now in Egypt, it's a big shrine, it's a huge shrine. I'm not here calling people to visit, you know, certain graves or shrines of people, but I'm calling people to visit the righteous people and make dua for them. Not to seek dua from them in their grave, but you make dua for them because your dua will reach out to them. And subhanAllah, the people of Egypt loved him so much. Before that in Egypt, the two major imam or the two major opinions of Islam taken either from Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Malik. But when Imam Shafi'i came, people of Egypt loved him so much that they even carry his knowledge. And many of his students are Egyptian students, actually from Egypt. Imam Shafi'i said once something about himself. And I want you to, you know, I want to finish inshallah with these two stories. Imam Shafi'i said, when I was in Mecca, when I was a boy, little boy, he said, I drink Zamzam and I made dua. SubhanAllah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the hadith, Zamzam lima shuribat lah. If you drink Zamzam, whenever you drink Zamzam, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your dua. Imam Shafi'i, when he was a boy, he had three wishes. He said, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me a master in archery. He said, and I became master of archery. Imam Shafi'i was a master of archery. If he throw 10 arrows, he will make 10 of them in the swab that he wanted. And I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me a scholar of Islam. And he became a scholar of Islam. And the third thing he said, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit me to Jannah. And Imam Malik, when he in Egypt, when he was at his deathbed and he was about to die, one of his scholars came to him and asked him, he said, Ya Imam, how you feel? Where do you think you're going? He said, I see myself leaving this world soon. And I see myself leaving my family, my brothers, my sisters, my friends soon. And meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very soon. And I see my bad deeds. SubhanAllah, Imam Shafi'i is the one who did all what he did. He's thinking about his bad deeds. He's thinking about his sins. He said, I see my bad deeds, and I don't know if I'm going to end up going in Jannah or hell, if I'm going to be in Jannah or I'm going to be in hell. Imam Shafi'i, something that not many people knows about him, he was a medical doctor. He was actually a medical scholar. And he used to say something very interesting to the Muslims at that time. He said at that time, in the Muslim world, during that time was the Abbasid Khilafah, the Abbasid Caliph. He said, many of the medical doctors are either Christian or Jews. He said, we need a Muslim to be specialized in medicine. And he was himself a medical doctor, actually. Something subhanAllah, very interesting about Imam Shafi'i, he used to divide his night into thirds. One third to sleep, one third to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one third to write and to study and to produce to us the knowledge that he produced to us today. Something, subhanAllah, very interesting and very powerful about Imam Shafi'i that I'm going to end with. In Ramadan, Imam Shafi'i, he used to do 60 khatm of the Quran. He used to finish the Quran, reading the Quran 60 times. When I talk about 60 times, I mean twice a day. How possible? We're having a hard time to read one juz a day, to recite one juz a day. We become so bored, you know, we think, you know, we have better stuff to do, and subhanAllah. And you know what? I never got it. I never got it until I saw smartphones, subhanAllah. Every single time when I was a kid and was learning about Imam Shafi'i, and they tell us, you know what, he would recite the Quran, read the Quran 60 times in Ramadan, twice a day. I was thinking, how possible is that? And until I saw the smartphones or the gaming, people would spend hours and hours and hours playing games on their phones, on their TV, on their computers for hours. I know some people sometimes spend 8 hours a day on their computers or on their smartphones. SubhanAllah, 8 hours? Definitely you would be able to finish the Quran twice if you read the Quran in the right way during these 8 hours. And subhanAllah, ask yourself in this month of Ramadan, are you being distracted? Is there things around you that make you distracted? Or are you spending Ramadan the way you should spend Ramadan? The way Imam Shafi'i used to spend it, by reading the Quran, connecting to the Quran, trying, if you cannot read the Quran in Arabic, read the translation in English. and maybe go more and try to read some of the tafsir, some of the explanations of the Quran. Read about certain books about the Quran. There's beautiful books about the reasons of revelations of each, you know, surah. Maybe we need to read that. We need to connect with the Quran the way those people before us, the scholars before us, were connected to the Quran. And this is the month of Quran, and that's what we need to do. Jazakum Allah khair, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we heard right now. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us the people of the Quran, and to make us followers of Imam Shafi'i and those heroes that we're talking about. Inshallah, we'll end with dua, inshallah, and then we're not going to have much time until iftar. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وصالح أعمالنا. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقائك من النار في رمضان. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقائك من النار في رمضان. اللهم اجعلنا من عتقائك من النار في رمضان. اللهم بلغنا ليلة القدر. اللهم بلغنا ليلة القدر. اللهم بلغنا ليلة القدر. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يصوم رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يقوم رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا. اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. اصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء. اللهم ارفع عنا البلاء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من المرض والجنون والجذام وسيء الأسقام. يا رب العالمين احفظنا واغفر لنا وتب علينا وتجاوز عنا يا كريم. اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم وجزاكم الله خير for being with us today. السلام عليكم.